And so today, this is the last message of our prayer series. Now, Pastor Christy started this series back in August and talked about prayer as relationship. And I think it's a great way to look at prayer. It's potentially a little bit different to how we have looked at prayer at certain times in our Christian walk. And so I'm unpacking the fourth A in this series. So it started with Amelia on attitude. And I love this. This is a attitude being a posture of prayer and how we see prayer. Are we willing to embrace it? And there was a phrase that Amelia used that really resonated with me about having passionate prayer and inspired action. And so I encourage you to go back and watch Amelia's message and really how she unpacks the attitude of prayer. And then a couple of weeks ago, it was Pastor Rob talking about accessibility in his message, The Approachable God, and that God is as close as the air that we breathe. That no matter what we are doing, God is approachable and we have access to our Heavenly Father. And then just last week, it was Pastor Sandra talking about accompaniment, about us going with God, us going with others, and God going with us. And I love all of these facets to prayer. They highlight that the need for us to have a good attitude and posture towards prayer. The fact that our God is approachable, that we can go to Him, and that He actually desires that connection with us, and that He accompanies us, but that we can also walk side by side with others in prayer, in life, and be encouraged that way as well. And so that brings me to today, the fourth A of this Prayer as Relationship series. And that A is attentiveness. That leaning in and being present and listening to God. You know, some of the synonyms of attentiveness as I looked at them while preparing this message are things like alert, observant, and awake. And so I've called this message Awake to God. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you that you are approachable. And I pray that as we continue in this series, that we would have an attitude that is open to you, that we would desire communion with you, that we would walk alongside you as you walk alongside us, that we would approach you, and that we would be attentive to you, that we would be alert and awake and observant to who you are and what you have in store for us. So I pray that you would speak through me today as we go on this journey of unpacking attentiveness, and that we can continue to grow our relationship with you through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask you. How do you go in terms of listening to people? Are you completely attentive all the time? Is your attentiveness conditional? You know, is it about who it is that's speaking, their position, different things like that? Or do they or you talk too much? You know, there's people that know me that would say if they've heard a story from me once, they've heard it 237 times. And so you know those people that you know, like the sound of their own voice, and I am guilty as charged. The reality is, though, church, in any form of relationship, attentiveness is important. That being attentive or being alert, being awake, being observant conveys that you are invested, that you are present, that the person that you are with or the people that you are with are important to you and hold value, and that you want to get to know them. It can be as simple as body language. You know, we know that someone's grumpy if they've got their arms crossed, they're leaning back, you can see it on their face. But when someone leans in, They use their hands and they kind of draw you in when they are speaking, or even when you're listening, that you're leaning in, you're listening, you're smiling. Through body language, we can convey attentiveness. Being attentive is also asking those questions. You're picking up on their body language, or you're picking up on something that they say, and so you're asking questions based on that. You also give space for pause. There's no competition in who needs to speak or when they need to speak. And you're actually listening to them. And part of asking questions is that listening. You don't want to be asking questions like, what, huh? Sorry, wasn't listening. What did you say? Can you repeat it? You want to be asking questions based on what they have said and what they are saying to you. And that is part of being attentive. And with God, this is the same. It's us choosing to listen so that we may hear his voice. I want you to think about it, the times that you may have been in prayer and you've done a lot of talking, have you then allowed God to speak, or have you just wrapped up the prayer time because you've got everything that you've wanted to say off your chest? Have you allowed God the chance to respond to you? But before we even stop and listen to his voice, before that, we need to know who he is so that we can recognize his voice. And this is modeled to us by Jesus. You know, I think about in the Gospels, we read that as a child, he spent time in the synagogues hearing scripture taught, and he would himself share his reflections on scripture. He had regular communion with his father. We read about the times where he would retreat after ministering, that he would spend that time with his heavenly father. That then enabled him to resist temptation. And we read about the ways in which the enemy tried to tempt Jesus. But he was able to resist that and then to bring light, life, healing, and restoration to those around him. And I think that Jesus has modeled to us the benefit of being attentive to God. You know, the benefit is, yes, a strengthened relationship, but it's the way in which that impacts our life, the restoration and the peace that that brings us, but the opportunity that we have to then outwork that in our lives. You know, we can pray for people, we can stand with people. And when we pray, when we are attentive to what God is saying, whether it's just our individual prayer time, whether it's in a whether we're with people, we're laying hands on someone and praying for them, or maybe we're just at home, but we know that someone is going through a rough time and we're wanting to pray. Actually hearing God's heart for that person and praying that is really important. And so being awake to God, being aware of what God is saying is really important. The reality is, church, that the voice we listen to determines the reality that we experience. I'll say that again. The voice we listen to determines the reality we experience. Are we listening to God and so finding joy, peace, and strength in all situations? Or are we listening to the enemy, to the world, to the situations in our life, and thus experiencing shame, fear, anxiety, worthlessness? I want to have a quick look at a couple of verses in 2 Timothy. And so Timothy had a relationship with Paul where Paul was his mentor, his guide. He was training Timothy in being a pastor. And in this second letter, right at the start, in verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, "Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment, or some other translations, sound mind. And we see here, I think, all four of the things that we've discussed in this prayer series. We see that accompaniment of Paul accompanying Timothy, of that laying on of hands. We see the accessibility, you know, to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. So that accessibility to the gifts of God and to the Holy Spirit within us. We see a hint to attitude of Timothy being willing and that needing that willingness to engage with God. And we see the byproduct of attentiveness, of being aware of God. We don't have a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And so we see how, in these couple of verses, how relevant this series is, of the things that it can unlock in us. And I think that it's really important to understand that as we are aware of God, as we are awake to God and what He has for us, things like fear, shame, disappointment, worthlessness start to fall away, and we can understand that power, that love, the sound mind, the peace that God brings us through being attentive. The reality is, church, that our God is a good God, and He has expressed His love through His Son Jesus, who was beaten, broken, humiliated, hung on a cross for us. God showed His love to us through His Son. And He has empowered us through the Holy Spirit. When we spend the time to know God, we can then start to recognize His voice. Are we awake to God and listening to His voice? Or are we in a spiritual slumber because we've not got to know God, or we've not made space? I've had moments of that second one, of not making the space. You know, there's been times where I've thought that everything is all good. And so there's a little bit of overconfidence, and for sporting terminology, taking the eye off the ball, taking my eyes off the ball. And I think that we can do that at times, where we are just like, oh yeah, life is pretty good. And so we may pray less, we may talk to God less, because we just think that everything's all good and we do it in our own strength. There have been times where I've not been vulnerable with God. And you know, attentiveness is partly listening, but it's also leaning in for support when struggling. You know, it's a two-way thing, and this message will talk a lot about listening to God, but it's just as important that we are attentive with ourselves so that we can bring that to our relationship with God. Just like we would with friends, with family, if we are struggling and we are attentive and aware of our own needs, we bring those, because that's where we get support and encouragement. So it's just as important to do that with God. And I've not been good at doing that at times. And then there's the talking too much. I might be praying or trying to make sense of a situation, and I say a whole lot of words, but leave little to no space for God to respond. And so it's really important that we develop our attentiveness through prayer. And so how do we do that? Well, I have a three-step process that I want to look at today. Those three steps are to get to know God, to make room for God, and to listen as God speaks. And that might sound simple, but it's harder than it looks, but it's also why it's super important. So first off, we need to get to know God. And this is important in any relationship, that getting to know a person. You know, we're born with the family that we are born with, but we choose the people that speak into our life. We choose the people that we spend our time with. And what are some of the things that we use to actually choose those people? Well, it might be shared experience, whether it's something traumatic, whether it's a really positive experience, something life-changing, or you go on a trip and you meet some people and you bond over that. Maybe it's your shared values and the way that you see the world. It's the people that fill your tank and bring you joy when you are in their presence. And people that leave you feeling encouraged and refreshed from spending that time with them. And so it is with God, church. We need to get to know who God is in order to trust Him and to recognize His voice. If we are going to become awake to God, we need to know Him. So how do we get to know Him? Well, it's a good question, and I'm glad you've asked it. One of the first ways is this: getting a Bible, reading the Word of God. In this, we learn about God's character and His nature. We read of stories that convey His faithfulness to us. We also read of God's promises and who He says we are. And there is so much in here about who God says we are. And so by knowing that and understanding that, we can recognize His voice when He speaks. We are not confused about who is speaking to us. We know, okay, this is bringing encouragement, life, speaking to my identity as a son or daughter of Christ. It is speaking to my purpose of going into the world and loving God and loving others, of taking up my cross daily and following Him. If it's speaking to things like that, then we know it's of God. But if it's of things that make us feel ashamed or live in fear, odds are it's probably not God speaking. So that's why it's super important for us to be awake to who God is, to be attentive to Him in prayer. So we've got the Word, but we can also explore creation. I think to Genesis chapter 1, and it says that we are made in the image of God, but not only that, but we see that God has created the heavens and the earth. He's created the land and the sea, night and day. But all the plants and all the animals that are on the earth, in the sea, all of these things that God has created. And so we can see God in the people that we interact with and in the creation that we have to explore. So that is a way of us getting to know who God is. And the real big one is really simple. We could just ask God to reveal Himself. You know, we read in John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word made flesh. We had a physical representation of Jesus on earth. I say had because He's ascended and gone to the right hand of God. But through Jesus and through the way that He lived His life, we have that representation of God. He revealed Himself through Jesus. And if we ask Him, He will continue to reveal Himself to us. But in order to understand that, we need to know Him. And our God desires relationship with us. He created us for community, church. And like Pastor Sandra shared last week, He wants to go with you or us. And He wants you and us to go with Him through life. We open ourselves to being transformed by His Spirit as we engage with God through prayer. Because that's you letting Him in to what's going on in your world, and then you have the ability to talk to Him. He speaks. We listen. When you speak, He listens. It's important to get that balance. You know, who knows someone who talks a lot and you may not really get a word in? I know one of those people because I am a talker, if you didn't notice. I'm also loud, if you didn't notice. And I've had to learn along the journey to stop, to breathe, and to be okay with that quiet space, even when I'm with people. It's being aware of who the person is and, you know, looking at their body language, understanding them. And as you deepen and develop a relationship, you're okay in those pauses because you're conveying to someone that that's a safe space for them to speak. And God wants us to feel safe with Him. And so it's important for us to get to know God so that we feel safe with Him. Because it's in that space that things change. And our relationship is strengthened and finds a new depth in that space. That space, that making room, allows for it. So which is why once we've got to know God, we need to make room for God. It's not fun being on the outside of a group or of a conversation. I'm sure that we've had moments when we've been at school, maybe in friendship groups, maybe even times when you've been to church. You've seen that there are groups and you're kind of on the outer, and it never feels good. But it's a good reminder for us that it's important to make room for the people in our world, whether it merely be inviting them into a conversation or including them in something like lunch, a hangout, you know, going and playing a round of golf, maybe it's going to see a movie. Whatever it is, making room for people says to them that you value them for who they are and what they bring. And it is the same with God. He won't push. He won't force His way into our life. He wants us to come to Him, to be aware of His presence in our life, that He is as close to us as the air that we breathe, that He is approachable. And He wants us to come to Him because we value Him and we love Him and we want that relationship with Him. So we need to choose to make room for God. And when I think about making room for God and what that looks like, I can't help but think of a story in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to read the story because it's a number of verses, but feel free to read this story from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37 this week. And it's about a Shunammite woman. And her and her husband, you know, they're wanting a child and they haven't been able to have one. And they know of Elisha, the prophet, that comes through and he'll regularly stop by. And this woman feels the compulsion to actually create a physical room in their home to honor this man of God. And so when he comes by, he's invited to come and stay in that space. And he asks how they want to be repaid. And so they talk about their desire for a child and things like that. Now, I'm not going to spoil what happens in the story so that you can actually go and read it. But we see the value that she places on Elisha, knowing that he is a man of God. And so they create this space in their home for him and therefore for God in their lives. We see Jesus do the same in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he's about to be arrested, beaten, broken, murdered. And he takes his disciples with him into the garden because Jesus knows he needs to pray. He needs to be in the presence of his heavenly Father to have the strength to be obedient. And we see that the disciples were in a slumber while Jesus was awake to God. And then fast forward to Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. The disciples have gone from that spiritual slumber to being fully awake and empowered by the Holy Spirit in them. We have the opportunity to make room for God in our lives, to invite him in and say, God, come, have your way in us, transform us, guide us, empower us, lead us. And this room could look different to all of us. It could literally be a physical room that maybe in your home you have to go into a particular room to pray because it gets you away from everything else. You know, particularly today in working from home, there's kind of not a lot of separation, I guess, between workspace, home space, all of that. So maybe it is a physical room in our home that we need to go into to be awake to God, to be aware of God, to be attentive to him and to listen. Maybe it's just simply clearing our schedule and allowing time. Or maybe it's just putting some time in your schedule that is for you and God. Then it's allowing him to actually speak when we're in that room, to invite him in to that room with us. And once you've got to know God and then made room for him, the next step is to listen as God speaks. Sometimes we may struggle with feedback. We may not like what somebody has to say, but it could be really important for us, for growth. You know, obviously I'm married to Em. You've seen her online a few times. And, you know, there are things that we may do that upset each other. Yes, you know, that does happen. But I'm sure any relationship that you are in, there is friction at times. And so it's important to actually listen to the needs of that person so that you can continue to deepen and strengthen that relationship. So how do you go with listening to what others say? And I'm not talking just the small talk or interesting information, but when correction or different views are brought. It's hard. I've had to unlearn many things. I also don't like being told what to do. And I like there to be a lot of noise, whether it's music, whether it's a TV on in the background. I've always struggled with silence. But being in that space allows me to hear from God. I'm not distracted by the noise, and I can hear from God. And because I know God, when he calls me to do something or when he brings correction, I know the place that it's coming from. And so I'm willing to listen. And so that's why we need to know God. And then we need to make the space for him to talk. And then we need to listen as he speaks. That willingness to forego our wants or desires, whether those be to interrupt, to correct, to ignore, to move on from that conversation because it's been going on and on and on and on, whatever it is. And that openness to strengthening relationships is important when it comes to listening. And listening is a skill that we all need to continually develop. You know, I think about uncomfortable conversations, and if I'm thinking about those in the Bible, I'm thinking of Moses and the burning bush. You know, he was kind of running away a little bit from life and things that had gone on. And then all of a sudden he's walking, a bush bursts into flames and starts talking to him. That'd be an interesting experience. I think about that for myself, and hopefully you think about that as well. How would you react if a bush caught fire and started talking to you? I have a giggle because it's interesting to consider. But that conversation was challenging for Moses, and he had the choice to make. Do I listen to this or do I not? But because of his understanding of God, he was able to go, right, okay, I can trust what is being said right now. It was an interruption and he was challenged. And the reality is that listening to what is being said can challenge us at times. That's why knowing God is so important, church. Because remember, the voice we listen to determines the reality that we experience. So in order to grow through listening, we need to know the person speaking. By being attentive to God and knowing Him, we can decipher whether it is Him speaking, and so we walk in obedience with Him, rather than being led down a path away from Him because we've listened to the wrong voice. We need to be awake, church, not in a spiritual slumber. We need to be attentive to God, to actively learn about who God is, to actively make room for God in our life, and then to actively listen to Him as He speaks. You know, like I said at the start, Jesus was tempted, but because He knew who God was, He was able to know, this is the enemy. I'm not listening to you because I trust my Heavenly Father. And so we need to do the same. When it comes to prayer as a relationship, attentiveness is extremely important, as through being attentive, we become awake to God. We observe who He is and can understand Him. We know who He is. We can invite Him into the room we make for Him, and then we have the space to listen. It is then on us to act on what we have heard. And so right now, I want us to make some room for God, to invite Him in to speak to us. It might be hard, and there might be some distractions wherever you are, but I encourage you to ignore those, and I invite you to join me in making some room. So right now, where you are, I want you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. Now take another one. God's word says that we are loved. His word says that we are His special possession. Right now, in this space, invite God to expand on that and how He sees you. Listen for His voice. Hear what God is saying to you right now. And lean into God, into who He is and who He says you are. Father God, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You are as close to us as the air that we breathe. We thank You that You are approachable and that You are accessible to us. We thank You that You go with us and that You invite us to go with You. And I pray right now that we would have a positive attitude towards You and towards prayer, that we would see prayer as a way of getting to know You, to see prayer as a way of making room for You, and to see prayer as a way for us to listen to You, to hear from You, and then to act. I pray that our attitude and our posture would be passionate and open to You. So I pray that You would meet each and every one of us where we are at right now. I pray that as we've made room today, that You have spoken words of encouragement and life to us, that we can write down, hold on to, and use to understand who you are, so that when challenges come, we can determine which voice is you. I just pray your blessing and favor upon each and every one of us right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be encouraged, church. We serve a good God who desires a relationship with us. So it's on us to be awake to God, to get to know Him, to make room for Him, to listen to Him, and then to walk in step with Him in obedience.